Looking in Isaiah chapter 50 today, there's a lot that can be said about this chapter. There's a lot of things that I won't be able to necessarily get into today about the verses and the chapter itself. This is what is known as one of the servant songs of Isaiah. He's speaking primarily prophetically of the Savior. And it is said that these verses can be also a picture of Israel as a whole that had been went into captivity and had been smitten, or even the person of Isaiah. But the primary picture is clear. I believe that we see it as the prophecy of our Savior. With that in mind, also remember that He is our great example, always our great example. The things that He does, He goeth before us. The Bible said, the shepherd that goes before the sheep. And but He is our example in every way. The Spirit of God teaches us to be as our Lord is. And so we want to remember that as well while we are looking at this morning. Now, what we want to look at is verses 4 through verses 9. And I'll read it here. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. And so I want to look at this. I want to primarily go back, and I love this verse number 4, where he said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I love that part of that verse. of speaking a word in season. Our Lord Isaiah is saying that he was given the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak a word in season. And you know, shouldn't that be as a pastor, as a mentor, whether lady or man, to those that are younger than us, to be able to know how to speak a word in season? I know there are times that we find people that are hurting around us, and you wish you had something that you could say. Something right that would be a help to them. I know I do. As a pastor, as a preacher, that weighs upon me all the time, although many a times you just don't seem to have the words. But we try, we pray, we strive. It should be our desire to be as our Lord. He was one that had, he could speak a word in season, amen? I mean, what that's saying is a word at just the right time, in just the right way, for just the right situation. In just the right need. I mean, the pastor is charged as far as preaching the word to be instant in season and out of season. That's a little bit different than what he's saying here, but he's saying that you and I should be, again, as our Lord, to want to be learned. This is something that is learned. He said he had the tongue of the learned. Now, what does that mean, to have the tongue of the learned? What does that mean? It means that you're able to say something that has been given you by another. And to be able to do that, to be a learned, to be the learned that he's speaking of. We have to be willing to be taught. We have to be willing to hear the teacher. Amen? I mean, if we're going to learn, we must be educated and must be taught. And it is the Lord God that gives it to us. It is the Lord God that gave him the tongue of the learned. When our Lord was a boy, we read about him that he increased in wisdom and stature, didn't he? And in favor with God and man. And so in his humanity, he grew in learning. He ever increased in learning in his humanity. In his divinity, he was God from the time before he came. That babe in the manger was God divine. The boy at the age of 12 in the temple was the Lord God divine. But in his humanity, he was the son of Mary. And so he did increase in wisdom and stature. And it was the Lord God that taught him to eat the honeycomb. He said in one place that he'd know how to receive the good and to refuse the evil. And so we must be willing to be the learned, to have God's wisdom placed in our mind. We must hear. We must have an ear to hear. And if we go this way and let God make us to be the learned, then what we've learned, we can pass that along. We can have the tongue of the learned. We can have, we can know how to speak a word in season. Sometimes speaking a word is not necessarily even letting words come out of our mouth. but with our affection, our Lord stood at the very tomb of his friend, and he wept. He just wept. That was enough said. Sometimes our weeping with those that weep and our rejoicing with them that rejoice is enough said. Amen. It is enough. But other times we must know what to say. Where do we get this word in season? Where do we find this? Of course, it is from the Lord. I mean, we have here the God's Son, the servant that we see, this example of Him. But if we look in God's Word, we find that His Word, a word in season, God's Word is a word of grace, the word of His grace. Sometimes people need to hear about the grace of God. They need to hear the word of His grace. That is God's goodness, amen? That God is good to man and man doesn't deserve it. There are people that a lot of times go through life feeling like they don't deserve anything. They need to hear of God's grace. The word of God's grace. When it comes to salvation, the sinner needs to hear the word of God's grace. That God would send His Son. Amen. That man does not have to pay. God paid it all. Amen. The word of God's grace. It is the word of God's promise. Sometimes people need to hear a promise from God. They need to hear that God promised He wouldn't put more on us than He would, what we could bear. Amen? In other words, that God has made promises to supply our need. That God has made many promises to His children, and it is a word of His promise. Amen? It's the word of faith. Sometimes people need their faith helped. It's a word of faith. It will strengthen our faith. It will increase our faith. God has given us many examples that our faith could be strengthened. It's the word of faith. It shows us how to believe in God, how to trust in God. Amen. How to hope in our God. Amen. We sometimes may get weary in well-doing. God tells us not to do that. Sometimes you and I get to where we wonder, is the Lord going to come? Yes, He's going to come. He promised He would come. It's a word of His promise. It's the word of truth. It is the word of life. It will bring life to people. It will bring life to the sinner. It will bring life into the heart of the saint. Amen? It is the word of life, the word of Christ, the word of the Lord, the word of our God. That is a word in season. We get it right here. Right here, no great psychology can compare to the words of God. Amen? No comfort could be found greater than the comfort in this book. The words of His grace, the words of His promise, the word in season. Sometimes we come to the house of God, and if you come seeking, it may be that the Lord will give you just some little something that you need that'll be enough to carry you through, to carry you over. We need that. We must have it. The old timers called it bread from heaven, fresh bread from heaven. I don't mind if God wants me to periodically going over some of the same verses, maybe even every now and then preaching the same message. But we need fresh bread from heaven often. Amen. Something new, a word in season. To him that is weary, the Bible said, God had given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Our Lord, listen, the Bible said, never a man spake like this man. The Bible said the people in Matthew 7 were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. He spoke in parables over there in the book of Matthew 13, and they said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works that he does? Where does he get these words? Why? Because his words, he spoke to them. Listen, the Bible said that our Lord, it prophesied in Isaiah, over in Isaiah 60, one of those later chapters of Isaiah, it said that he had come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. To let the captives free. That was his word that was going to do that. Those that are weary, our Lord can speak a word to them that are weary right at the right time, in the right way. He is the great comforter to your soul and mine. Thank God that our Lord can speak to us the way that he does. He can speak peace to a troubled sea and a troubled soul. Thank God that he has a word in season the way that he does. This verse, it tells us again of the servant life. Listen, you and I, we look at this. I want us to look at this and all, mainly see our Lord, but we can get something from it for ourselves as the servant you and I should be, that we should strive to be. This servant life, listen, it comes at a price. Look what the Bible said. Several things that I want us to see about the price of the servant life. First of all, he said in verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Now, the Lord, what he's speaking of here is the servant, slave, and his Lord. Him that is a slave to his Lord, a willing slave, a willing servant, that is free to leave, but chooses to stay. And what he does, you'll find it in the book of Numbers, is that the householder that has the servant slave, the slave lets him know, I love you. I don't want to leave you. I want to serve this house always from all of my heart. Because he was free to go. So what that man would do, he would take that servant slave to the door of the temple and he would plunge his ear through with a nail. Open his ear, in other words. And that was a sign that he was his servant forever. That was a painful process, wouldn't you think? Amen? Surely it would be. A pain to the flesh. It does cost something to be the kind of servant that we should be. We should desire to want to be that servant, and we should be willing to let him pierce our flesh. Listen, I'm not for piercing my own flesh. That ain't going to get me nowhere. But if he'll pierce my flesh, if he'll put his mark upon me, amen,
if he'll put his sign upon me, a word from God that tells him, pierce him through, then I'll take that. Amen. Paul took that. He bore in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the marks of our Lord. Amen. Every time that he was whipped, every time. But before that, Paul spiritually already had his ear nailed to the doorpost. Amen. He was a willing servant, a slave servant. He served God and the Lord because he loved him. And he didn't want to leave him. He had nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. Didn't want to go nowhere else. Amen? Didn't want to go nowhere else. Have you got to the place where you don't want nothing else? You don't want nothing else but him? You don't want nothing else but his house? You don't want nothing else but his way? What he can provide? I'm not providing for myself as the slave servant. I don't have my own house, my own land, my own cows and donkey. Amen. I live off of the master. Lord, help us to get this morning. Listen. So he said he hath opened mine ear. That's part of the cost, the price paid. But also, I want you to look at these verses. Look at this. You have verse 4 and 5. Verse 6 is a hinge verse. Then you have verse 7, 8, and 9. Like two doors on a hinge. 4 and 5 hinge on this side of 6. 7, 8, and 9 hinge on that side of 6. It all hinges on the cost. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The suffering that he would bear. It was the suffering in the flesh that he would bear. Amen. The suffering as a servant from those enemies that would smite, that would spit, that would pluck. But verse 4 and 5 hinged on that. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to them him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters. He was able to endure verse 6. He was able to be everything verse 4 and 5 said that he was because he would endure. It's symbolic of listening only to the word of the Lord, these verse 4 and 5. No matter what the smiters did and what men did. Then verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. See, I know he'll help me regardless of what I suffer. Therefore shall I not be confounded. When they pluck off the hair, I'll not be confounded. I'll not hide my face from shame. He said at the end of verse 7, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I won't be ashamed. Amen. Regardless of what they do, regardless of what happens to this flesh, I know that God will help me. God will help me. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. You see, we'll be everlasting. they'll be gone. The Lord's going to help me. I'm not going to be ashamed. The Lord will justify me. Amen? The Lord's going to help me. Make sure I'm not condemned. The Lord will justify me. Amen? He'll stand with me. No one will be able to contend with him, he's saying. There will be no adversary in the end. Amen? Now listen, I want to tell you what this says to me. I mean, when you look at verse 4 and 5, I mean, how wonderful that that is. And then even the promises of 7, 8, and 9. But when you see what's happening in verse 6, I gave my back to the smiter. He knew they would smite. And my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He knew. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I tell you what I see in that. Not only do we know that our Lord is the only one that was able to do what he did. Able. But he was willing to do what he did. That shows he was willing. I gave my back. I gave my cheek. I gave. Amen. Boy, that's a servant right there. Amen. One that gives their all. Gives their life. Willingly. He said, I gave. I gave. Willingly. He laid down his life, didn't he? Amen. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And he did that willingly. Amen. He did that willingly. Whew. No man could speak the way that he did. No man could make the sacrifice that he made. And make it willingly. You and I, listen, we should be that willing servant. Willing. Willing to give our cheek to the smiters. Back to the smiters. Cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. What would it cost us to know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary? He knew something about what it was to be weary, didn't he? He surely did. He knew what it was to be weary. He knew what it was to need a word. The angels came at different times and ministered to him. He ministered to him in the garden. You remember that? When his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. No doubt in his humanity, he was suffering greatly. God allowed those angels to come and minister to him. I don't know what they said. But whatever they said, Brother Danny, he set his face like a flint, the Bible said. Amen. He set his face like a flint. I mean, he was going to that cross for you and me. Willingly going. And now we hear, whosoever will, let him come unto me. The greatest words that could ever be spoken by the greatest Savior man could ever desire or want. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To give ourselves to the Lord as servants to learn. Listen, the Bible tells us that you and I, we should know how to speak a word at the right time, to know how to answer. In the New Testament, it tells us to do that, that we should know how to answer them. We should be full. The more full you and I are of God's Word, the more we could say about His grace or His promises, or to help someone's faith, or to give them wisdom and direction, knowledge and going, to give truth in the eyes of so many lies. When so many people have, nowadays, everybody says, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. We know the truth. We know what the real truth is. Not deceived. Our families won't be deceived. Our friends won't be deceived. Our children won't be deceived. Why? We have a word of truth to give them. Amen. And listen, it takes being willing. Some people may not be willing to go that far. Listen, I can't imagine not wanting the Lord in my mind and heart and my thoughts every day, all day. To be able to say, Lord, take my ear to the doorpost. Open my ear. Place your scar upon me. The imprint that He would place upon our life. We're already His creation, His imprint, aren't we? In some manner. But now to be crucified with Him. Crucified with Christ. Amen. Let God do that in your life. Let God give you something that you can give someone else. I'm telling you, that's better than anything that you could possibly imagine, is to be able to speak a word in season to somebody that needs it. What's as great as that is to be able to hear a word in season that God would speak to us. Amen. I want you to stand. I'm done.